Well, grace and peace as we come together in this new year for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come together this Sunday to celebrate and rejoice alongside of those who are affirming their faith, confirming their faith, and affirming their baptism. What a blessed time it is. We have James with us in this service and the other young men and young women in the first service that were with us. These students have engaged in classes and joined us on retreat in Mount Cross as we journey together throughout the fall season for their confirmation. And today we get to celebrate with them, reflecting on Jesus' own baptism. And as we encourage them, they will foresee their spiritual growth as disciples as they express their own renewed resolve to follow Christ, their Lord, from this day forward. But we can also use today's reflections in our own hearts, in our own minds, to look at his word and explore each of our own faith journeys, our own spiritual growth, our own obedience to his calling, and reaffirm our own faith to follow him. What I most love about Luke's passage here and his insights into the baptism at the Jordan River is that we're drawn in rather quickly to the scene where Jesus approaches John and those at the water with a heart and an attitude, one of humility, peace, submission. Jesus is revealed in this moment to be fully human as he enters into the river and he's baptized by John alongside the others. We then see that he's also fully divine as he's recognized by his Father in heaven as God's Son. Luke bears witness for us to the full Trinity, to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, making their presence known along the banks of the Jordan. We see in this passage how God exists in three persons, one substance, co-eternal, co-equal. We see an intricate relationship here where pleasing love abounds. Pleasing love has washed over this scene in this baptism in the river today. The past few weeks, we've gotten to witness the stories of Jesus being born to humble parents, given a human nature. He was glorified by shepherds and travelers from abroad. And we now realize in his baptism that he identifies and understands new birth of a sinful people, knowing what it means for the Holy Spirit to indwell the heart and the mind. As he prayerfully seeks God's affirmation of his own calling, we see the Holy Spirit in the form of this dove just slowly descend upon him. His Father declares, "You are my Son, my love. With you, I am well pleased." These simple, loving words become the first words of his ministry calling. It begins his journey to the cross at Calvary. When we look at our own lives, at the challenges, the battles, the struggles of brokenness, the hurtfulness that sometimes can come our way, we can always look to Jesus. Jesus at the river. And we can know that he understands and he relates to our humanity in the same way. He is fully man and yet at the same time fully God. He goes into the river and later gets hung from the cross as only a man could. He lives a sinless life and rises from the dead as only our Lord and Savior, someone fully God, could. Jesus in his manhood approached the banks of the Jordan to affirm his calling before all of those confessing and repenting of their sins. In the same way, James and the other students today affirm their baptism by confirming their faith. And they do so here among the community of faith at St. Tim's. You see, we're a family of sinners. We're in need of repentance. We're in need of a Savior. One student shared in their confirmation essay, "Confirmation is one way to confirm my faith in front of the people I love and who love me. I'm showing that I am confident enough in my relationship with God that I want to show this to the people who mean the most to me. How touching to know that they see each of you sitting here today as the people that mean the most to them. Another student shares, so why now? Why do something so important in middle school? When a Christian family has a child, they baptize the baby, and at that time, the baby can't really say or do anything, so the parent speaks on behalf of that child. As a teenager, I can now speak for myself and my own faith. I believe confirmation to be about my belief in God, my trust in God, and my trust in God's promises. Another student viewed confirmation as a word with many definitions. It shows proof of something or verifies it. It demonstrates the authentication or ratification of our actions. Confirmation, the student says, is that I am verifying my belief in God. It means I'm saying yes to the fact that I am a disciple of Jesus and that I'm following his ways and his teachings. What powerful, powerful words directly from our students. Parents, family members, friends, all of you here at St. Tim's, we can be confident of one thing with our students. They truly are his disciples. For many of us, we have a tendency to view confirmation as a culmination, as a graduation, a closing out of one season of our lives, a concluding chapter so we can move on to the next chapter that God has planned for us. Well, I'd like to propose that we instead view confirmation as an inspiration, as an aspiration to become more like Jesus every day of our lives. You see, sometimes when we go through confirmation, we tend to see it as a finish line, something we need to cross and a culmination, but I'd have our students look at it more as starting blocks. Starting blocks of the race that God has called us to run for the rest of our lives. Our students and each one of us, when we confirm our faith, we're beginning a lifelong journey to be taken stride by stride as God lays out each step of the path that lies ahead for us, and we can walk to be good and faithful servants. We respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting, to Christ's call for our obedience to his word and to his will. Our response results from following the love that we receive from him. Our response is returned out of the love that we recognize in him. In our response, he calls us to engage others, reflecting the love as he resides in us. You see, in every way possible, we are his followers, and he becomes our Lord. We're called to a great commitment, which to me, equates to looking at and walking in light of the greatest commandment in Matthew 22, the great commission in Matthew 28, and what I like to refer to as his great compassion shown in Luke 4. The greatest commandment tells us, love the Lord God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. We are committed to loving our neighbors as we ourselves have been loved by God. The Great Commission reminds us that all authority belongs to him. And therefore, we're called to go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching them to obey everything that Christ has commanded us. While we are going, Christ commands us to draw out from others a desire to keep, to observe, to obey everything that he has instructed, that he has modeled, and that hopefully he has passed along to each one of us, empowered by his spirit indwelling within us. This is our commission and defining purpose in life. And additionally, I would point to the great compassion revealed to us following Jesus's baptism and then a wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. And then he enters into the temple in Nazareth. He goes and he reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to recover sight for the blind and release the oppressed, to proclaim the favor of the Lord. He said to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You see, we're called by Christ to act with sincere commitment, commitment to know the Father, to grow as his disciples, and to go with the Spirit. He modeled and passed on to us just how to do that. He made it pretty simple. Love, make disciples, baptize, train up, share the good news, proclaim freedom, pray in his name for the healing of others, guide others to share in the same freedom that comes with faith in Christ. But how do we really accomplish this, we may be asking ourselves. One student in their essay recounted an example that used a mobile phone, an example that I've used in some previous messages. The Holy Spirit is inside each of us from the moment we are baptized. But in order to keep that connection with God, we have to recharge the place the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. Without the Holy Spirit, we would not have a relationship with God. Jesus dying on the cross and ascending into heaven is how that Holy Spirit is able to dwell in our hearts. Through Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in us. Without Jesus and his Spirit, there would be no way to relate to God. Each part of the Trinity plays a role in our relationship. The Trinity works much like a phone and its charger. The phone's battery represents the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And it has to be charged frequently using the cord, Jesus Christ, who plugs us into the power source of God the Father. A simple example, but a powerful one. And so it begs the question for us, how do we effectively recharge? In their essays, the students talked about growing their faith. They talked about fellowship with other Christians. They talked about worship and volunteering at VBS, participating in Sunday Cafe and Cornerstone, by connecting daily with the Lord through meditating on his word, by communing with him in prayer. One student, feeling challenged, stated, the pastors are sometimes saying that you need to be so dedicated that you are willing to give up everything for God and let the Holy Spirit guide you. I'll put a few fewer things in front of God and give him more control. Yes, my friends, even the students listen to us from the pulpit from time to time. In today's reading, in Titus chapter 3, we're reminded, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those of you who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. By God's grace, each of us has been given a rebirth, a renewal, poured out from the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Each day, we're called to die to ourselves, to live out our lives in kindness and love, granted by Jesus, by God himself. This transformation should inspire us on to good deeds as we more fully understand that it was our baptism and confirmation of faith that reassures us that we are his children, the children of God. You see, the words spoken over Jesus that day, you are my son, they're meant to be spoken over James and the other students and in each one of you here. You are my child, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Spoken over us in pleasing and abounding love. Through his grace, each one of us is connected to the body of Christ. We're embraced as family members within a Christian community. We're granted new life through his resurrection. Jesus didn't take long following his Spirit-filled baptism to move into his Spirit-driven mission, his mission focused on bringing in abundant life, anchored in God's word, to whomever God brought in his path. Jesus modeled for us what it means to bless those around him. You see, when it comes to an abundant life, Jesus showed us it's always better to give than to receive, better to serve than be served. So my challenge to the rest of us in here, model for our students what Christ modeled for us. We can spur on our students in their journey to grow as disciples and to mature in their faith among a fellowship of believers. You see, confirmation marks a renewed opportunity for James and our other students to journey out to minister to others, to share the good news, to serve others in his name and in love. They're being called to a bold new mission. And as they do so, I'd like to remind you, and I'd like to remind James and the others, keep the faith, keep the focus, keep pursuing his promises for your life. God's pleasing love, it'll abound. It'll abound in this life and in our lives to come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we are a humble people. Lord, we ask your blessing on our lives. We ask that the words spoken over you that we know are spoken over each of us, Lord, that we are pleasing. Lord, we thank you for your love-filled grace. May it wash over James and the other students. May it wash over each of us here in this congregation. May we go out of here boldly to be on spirit, carried by the Holy Spirit in all that we do. May we be a light to you, Lord. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.